Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of February, recording at 7:12 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, this is a really important day in here today, much more so than usual. There are several significant things that have happened here. First, that global stock market correction has gathered pace somewhat included Wall Street, which was closed yesterday. That would be point number one. Now, there are more important points by far, though. Another one is that the price of crude oil has really taken off here today, and as I speak, it's currently at 51.10. That's up 2.75 today, so up above that $50 psychological level, and this is a bit of a shock for Wall Street and for other stock markets around the globe. There's no doubt about that. It will not be a shock, except perhaps in the severity of today's rise, for subscribers who have been listening to these audios, because I've been saying all along that I expected the price of crude oil to break above $50 before very long. Now, the other factor that's quite significant here is a much weaker U.S. dollar, and that has taken place against the background of this article about South Korea. I put that up on the website, but just saying that they were going to sort of diversify their reserves. Well, big deal. Everybody wants to diversify their reserves to one degree or another. So my feeling really is that, as you know, was the dollar had already completed its technical rally, was on the way back down. That's been apparent from the charts for the last fortnight. And this story just gave a very weak market, which had paused for a couple of days, a further impetus on the downside. Now, that then triggered a big move here today in precious metals, and particularly in gold, which is up $7.50 as I speak at 434.89. So this is all pretty significant stuff in here. Now let me go back to the stock markets in a quick review here. And first, my view overall, as I think you're probably quite aware, is that we're very much in a late stage, end game of this cycle for the particular rally, the very good global rally that I've really dated from March 2003. So here we are, nearly at the end of February, meaning that the second anniversary of this rally is coming up, and there are all sorts of signs there that this is an end game that I've mentioned. I don't want to repeat them all, but things like the M&A activity that we've seen, the surge in the resources stocks, these are typical end game developments. And then there's oil forcing its way and how back onto center stage in terms of general overall concerns. The dollar's decline picking up a bit of steam as it heads back down to test the previous support level and the historic lows in that 80 and 78 region on the U.S. dollar index. So then there's that softness that we've seen in global bond markets over the last fortnight. So the interest rate concerns, I mean, really, there are a lot of factors there. So the point here, the key point in terms of stock markets is, has the rally already ended? Or are we going to see it strung out a little bit further, or is it going to sort of top out on a fairly sort of gradual basis? In other words, is going to end with a whimper or a bang in here, and nobody knows the answer to that. But in terms of overall background tactics as to how we play it, I would be avoiding putting new money into the markets. If you wanted to have one exception to that, certainly at this time, if you wanted to have one exception to that, it would be in the resources sector, from gold shares to the metal mining company. So, and yes, they've had a good run. Well, not the gold shares. The gold shares are just coming off a reaction low. So they represent some of the better value in here today in terms of, well, and I say better value, they're on high multiples, but in terms of potential momentum. Incidentally, that mystery chart is a gold share. That's Ballarat Goldfields. It's spelled Ballarat. That is an Australian gold mine. It's a little small speculative one, but I did notice when I saw that upward dynamic on the charts today, and it's been building up to that. So you can see looking at the chart that RBC Capital Markets, I think that's Royal Bank of Canada, rather, Royal Bank of Canada Capital Markets. This is according to the Bloomberg News, says that they have rated Ballarat outperform, talking about a move up to 24. I haven't mentioned that share in quite some time, but veteran subscribers will remember that I put that in my portfolio. Oh, must have been, can't remember, five or 6 months ago or so. Did disastrously at first, but is fortunately well into the money now, including the rights issue that I picked up on a reaction low. And I have no intention of ditching that share just at this stage, not with the oil, get big pardon, the gold price roaring back on the upside. But all these little gold shares are to be traded. They're not lock away positions, in my view at any rate. Okay, now in terms of overall equity positions, I had a leveraged play in the Nikkei, and I leveraged that up again last night. That was a mistake with hindsight, and I got stopped out. Fortunately, I had that in the money stop on 80% of my position, the March contracts, and I came out of that fairly well, as you would see. Let's say in the summary and comment of the day, the question I'm asking myself is: should I be looking to open some hedge short positions in stock markets? Well, I'm going to have a good look at what the Asian markets do overnight. Incidentally, in this nervous environment, and a consolidation, I say, is hardly surprising after the previous gains that we'd actually seen. But every time markets move up in this late in the cycle end game script and then pause for consolidation, that raises or asks the question more loudly in my mind, is that the end? Have we actually seen the end? Well, I want to see how Australia and New Zealand perform overnight. Certainly investors are nervous. For instance, I have my two big emerging market positions in India and Thailand, and I noticed both those funds were down a little bit today. That's the JP Morgan Fleming India Fund, and also the Aberdeen Newtai Investment Trust. That was down a little bit in here today, but both India and Thailand, the indices, spot indices, were up a wee bit today. So again, they say that reflects the nervousness that we're seeing among investors. And Asia is heading for a test here tomorrow because, as I speak, we've got the Dow down 141. That's 1.31%. That's the biggest of the declines, but well, not that well. Close behind it, though, the S&P down 14 and the Nasdaq down 20. Incidentally, the underperformance of the Nasdaq in recent weeks has been, well, the last, you could say the last couple of months, has been a big negative in my view, 'cause since that's the risk index, and its weak performance indicates that investors are concerned about concerned about risk. Okay, moving on. The U.S. Treasury bonds down again here today, despite the weakness on Wall Street. We're down 113.21. Now, I actually have some rollover positions tomorrow. In other words, I have some March contracts, trading contracts that are expiring. And I believe, I'm just going to make sure I don't tell a fib here. I just look at my sheet. Let's see, they're going to be in T-bonds. where I will take a loss despite the recent move downwards because I shorted too soon this time around. But that loss will be more than offset by a gain in the March silver position, which is expiring, fortunately, although that won't quite offset a loss in palladium. I will roll the palladium forward because I've said all along on this is the classic laggard. You buy it when it's really cheap and you're going to sit and suffer for a while and it'll feel masochistic from time to time. But if the other precious metals rip, then and only then is palladium likely to do well. Well, I think the other precious metals are starting to rip. I've been saying that gold is, I think, is going to go right back up to its high and through the high that we saw back in December. And I think perhaps silver. Silver, excuse me, seems to be on target for a retest of resistance up near the $8 level. And more importantly, perhaps for palladium, the platinum market, and that's strengthening in here. That was up 10 today, 875 on the April contract. You got that breaking up above the 888.90 level, and that could run. That would be good for palladium, as I say. Sorry, now here you're hearing the Hoover and everything else going on here at the office. My apologies for that. Nothing I can do about it except to try and ignore it and carry on. But to say I will be rolling all of those positions forward, and I will expect to make money in palladium over the next quarter and about time too. Now, also, with this oil move, the dog, though, despite mentioning those positions, the dog in my portfolio really is this natural gas. But that's up today, not anywhere near as much as oil, but it's inconceivable to me that we're going to have oil moving back up to test its highs and probably break above those highs, and to have natural gas languishing down here, which it's doing at the moment. So I will be rolling that forward later on in the week as well. And natural gas is the out of line bargain basement industrial commodity right now in my view. So I may well increase my position in that market. What else can I mention for you here? I said I would have a quick review on of the overall oil charts and natural gas. Well, I think I pretty much covered that. But needless to say, oil is in a secular bull market, and the problem is just this inexorable rise in demand, as I've said before, and the lack of refining capacity. It's not that there isn't the capability of pumping out more oil, but there certainly is a refining problem. And we're getting a scramble for oil, and it's highly political. It's one of these strategic geopolitical plays with China and India, and other rapidly emerging countries wanting to secure oil supplies, not to mention the West, wishing to do the same. So I think this sector is going to remain hot for a while, and I think it may well resist a well, I think it can resist without any trouble a correction in stock markets. It can't resist a major sell-off decline in stock markets, but I'm not willing to predict that major sell-off decline in stock markets has commenced just yet. But remember, though, my best case scenario was that this rally, and I've been saying this since the very, very beginning of September, was that this very good rally would carry well into the first quarter of 2005, and we're nearly through 2 months of that first quarter. Now, currency trades here. A lot of people like the euro. Well, fine. Currently, it's at 132.54 against the dollar, so up 187. That's a powerful move. Actually, I like sterling more if I were going to have one of the majors in here. I wouldn't have the yen But the yen's stronger against the dollar. The dollar's weaker. It's the dollar weaker, really. Down to 104.18. That's down 139 ticks. Sterling is at 191.06, up 143 ticks. But sterling has got the higher yield. But the two I really like in here is the Australian dollar, which I where I increased my position yesterday. It looks good on the charts. And that's also got the resources behind it as well. It's got the favorable interest rate differential. And probably even better is the New Zealand dollar, which has led the way up once again and has already broken through that former high, while the Australian dollar hasn't. So those are the two that I like. And I may well leverage those positions up somewhat, but only do it from a position of strength. And by strength, I mean I'm seeing sufficient gains on the positions that I already have so that I can protect them within the money stops and then consider leveraging up once again. In other words, a tactic that I used on the Nikkei stock average. And I think I said yesterday that I'd probably get stopped out, and you do this, you leverage these things up in a big way, and 9 out of 10 of them will get shaken out by a close stop, for better or worse. If the Nikkei falls back, it'll be for better. You catch one of those, and it's a good way to make a fair amount of speculative gain for very limited risk with the market position financing itself. Okay, what else can I possibly mention in here? I think that's pretty much it, folks. So I'll just say have a splendid evening and on to an exciting tomorrow.